Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You heard again this evening the familiar story of the wise men, Gentiles from the east, who followed the star that had appeared over the land of Judah and went first to Jerusalem and then to Bethlehem, where they found and worshipped him who had been born King of the Jews, although they were Gentiles. We're going to let Isaiah guide us through the meaning of this epiphany, as we've been doing on Wednesday evenings, but we'll have to take Isaiah out of turn because the lesson for Epiphany is from Isaiah 60, which you heard this evening. We should be on chapter 50. What we've missed, what we haven't even gone into yet in Isaiah, that chapters 40 through 66, is that Isaiah focuses first on the deliverance that God promised to Israel from captivity in Babylon. He's already done that by this point. Then he'll focus on the deliverance God promised to give Israel from sin through the Messiah and his suffering. He's done that now by chapter 60. Now, in these last chapters of Isaiah's book, the prophet focuses forward into the New Testament and even beyond into eternity. He begins this evening with the familiar words, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you." That's really the Christmas message, isn't it? The coming of him into the world who is the light of men, as the Apostle John puts it. The coming of him who is the radiance of God's glory, as the writer to the Hebrews puts it. Into the midst of the deep darkness of man's sin, idolatry, violence, arrogance, ignorance of God, and ignorance of salvation, Israel could expect the coming of the Christ as surely as the sun rises. Only to Israel would the Christ come. Only over Israel would his glory appear. The glory of the Lord shined around the shepherds in Bethlehem, not in Assyria or Greece or Rome. The Christ wouldn't show up and shine with his light in Europe either, or in the Americas or Africa or Asia. Salvation wasn't to be found anywhere else, in anyone else. None of the Gentile gods, none of the heathen deities, none of the pagan celebrations. Only the light of Christ, shining brightly from the land of Israel, would be able to dispel the darkness of sin. But Isaiah didn't stop with that Christmas message of the light coming into the world. He continued with the Epiphany message. "The Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather together. They come to you. Your son shall come from afar, and your daughter shall be nursed at your side. Then you shall see and become radiant, and your heart shall swell with joy, because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you. The wealth of the Gentiles shall come to you. The multitude of camels shall cover your land. The dromedaries of Midian and Ephah, all those from Sheba, shall come. They shall bring gold and incense, and they shall proclaim the praises of the Lord." The Gentiles, that is, the nations, would be drawn to Israel, to the glorious light of Christ. That prophecy wasn't exclusively fulfilled in the wise men and their coming to Bethlehem, but they were the first. the first non-Jews to recognize that the promised Christ had finally come, and that this King of the Jews was not only the King of the Jews, but of the Gentiles too. The wise men were the first, but they weren't the last. Some Gentiles heard and believed the gospel while traveling or staying in the land of Israel, but most, the vast majority of Gentiles, heard the gospel as it went forth from Israel, like a light shining from that place. It went out first with the apostles after the day of Pentecost, and with Jewish believers in Christ who traveled out from Israel. And never once did any of the apostles ever say, "Now you Gentiles, if you would be Christians, you need to go live in the land of Israel." No, they never said that. They didn't have to, because in the scriptural sense, all who believed the gospel of Jesus Christ, wherever they were in the world, had already come into Israel. They came in figuratively, not literally. Most Gentiles have still never stepped foot in the land of Israel. Most have not petitioned for citizenship in the nation of Israel. And yet, according to Isaiah and according to St. Paul, we Gentiles have come to Israel. Because the Israel Isaiah foresees is no longer the physical descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob dwelling on a particular plot of land. The Israel that Isaiah foresees is much bigger than that. By believing in Jesus as the Christ sent to Israel, but sent to be the Savior of all men, we are actually bringing, or actually God is bringing, glory to the original people of Israel. As Gentiles, we confess readily that God chose that nation descended from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that He nurtured and instructed that nation and prepared that nation for the birth of His beloved Son. By reading and believing the Old Testament scriptures as well as the New, we are bringing glory to the original people of Israel, whom God made the recipients and the caretakers of His very words to mankind. Before the time of Christ, the vast majority of God's believing children were literally children of Israel, leaving us so many good examples in the Old Testament scriptures to follow. And we give thanks to God for every one of those Israelites. That is God bringing glory to His Old Testament people, Israel, through the light of Christ, whom He sent to Israel. But, as I said, the Israel Isaiah foresees is bigger than that. The original people of Israel were preserved by God long enough to preserve His word, long enough to get His Son born into the world, long enough to put His Son up on a cross, on a hill, on the outskirts of Jerusalem. He gave them the light of His Son and the light of His Son's gospel, and He shined on them for the time He remained there. But as we all know, the nation of Israel as a nation chose to go back to darkness, rejecting Jesus as the Christ. Not so with the new Israel that Isaiah foresees. The new Israel rejoices in the light of the Christ, is full of joy. The new Israel that Isaiah foresees is made up of the Jews and Gentiles who believe, who desire to walk in the light of Christ Jesus. It's a new Israel that embraces the Lord God, which means embracing the Lord Christ. It's a new Israel that worships God under a new Testament or covenant, not one of obedience to the law, but a covenant of grace and the forgiveness of sins to all who believe. In effect, the new Israel, which is the Holy Christian Church, is the offspring of the old Israel, or as Paul puts it in Galatians, is the adult grown-up version of Israel. This evening we celebrate the wise men as the first Gentiles to enter into this new people of God, the first men from among the nations to come to Israel both physically and spiritually to worship the Christ. Physically, they came and then they departed after worshiping Jesus and offering those famous gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But spiritually, we have every reason to believe that those wise men remained in Israel. And you and I have joined them there in Israel. Here in Israel. Because it's no longer a place, but a people. No longer a physical genealogy, but a spiritual one. Because as St. Paul writes to the Ephesians, through the gospel, the Gentiles are fellow heirs with the Jews, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus. May this epiphany or revelation of Jesus as the one born to be your King too fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.